السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله، صدق الله العظيم. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa. In last week's majlis, we were discussing some poetry of Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Alayh, which is very pertinent, very relevant. I discussed just the first four lines and that was the end of the majlis. We couldn't even go further. But in that first part he had mentioned, Tumhare ghar mein choro ne lagai hai naqab, jaago. Thieves, burglars, or as we say in Urdu, the dakus, they have entered your homes. And they entered your home not quietly. They made a big noise and they came into your homes. I discussed that to some extent, that tumhare ghar mein choro ne lagai hai naqab jaago. These thieves have entered your homes. They drilled a big hole in the wall and they came inside. He says, get up. Why? Because they are taking away your wealth. They are taking away your furniture, your fridges, your stoves, your cash, your jewelry, everything they are stealing. And they're going out of your house. And they came in also with a very big noise and din. And you're still sleeping. In other words, they're stealing your culture. They took away your akhlaq, they took away your muamlat, they took away your muasharat. That beautiful muasharat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where even enemies became friends, where even kuffar became Muslims, because of the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And if they were enemies, then they became bosom friends. And these people have taken away that akhlaq of yours. They have given us their culture. We are supposed to be giving them our culture, instead they are giving us their culture. Our weddings, our walimas, and all our other affairs of life, our businesses, in everything, we look up to them for guidance. They have stolen ours away. That beautiful Islamic guidance, they have taken that away. And they have given us all their dirty, filthy culture. They have loaded our homes with the filthy magazines, filthy television programs. And they have made zina, homosexual relationship, music, photography, and all these type of things, they have made it a norm of the society. And they have made it acceptable to us also. In our homes, and not only in our homes, but even in our masajid now, it has become a norm. If there is a wedding, then the cameras are there. The person wants to take photographs right inside the masjid of the groom now. And most of the times, even the Maulana Sahib who's performing the nikah, if he is also in that same line, or he is also of that opinion that there's nothing wrong, then he accommodates and welcomes them. He feels that it will be nice, at least when they are watching those pictures afterwards. When they are watching that film afterwards, then at least my picture will be there too. They've gone into the Haram Sharif. They've gone into Medina Sharif. Right near the Rosa Mubarak. We know what happens. Then with our cell phones, they took the music right into the masjids. Cell phone is a necessity of life now. We did without it up till now, but now it has become like part of our lives. There's a need for it. So it's serving a useful purpose, there's no doubt. But is there a need that we have to get those musical tones, or we have to have that particular film song, whatever the music was in that particular song, we must have it on our cell phone. And then we say we forgot to switch off that phone, so where does it ring? Right in front of the Roza Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right in front of the Kaaba Sharif. And how many different rings you hear in the Haram Sharif? How many different rings? It is like one big joke. Somebody's phone from this side playing some music, somebody's from that side playing some music, somebody's from that side playing some music. Tumhare ghar mein choron ne lagayi hai naqab, jaago. Tumhara ye liye jaate hai maal asbab sab, jaago. Unconcerned where we are, what we are doing. We say, what is wrong? What is wrong? With everything, what is wrong? So haven't they stolen our culture? We made our namaz in the Haram Sharif, no doubt. That was one thing that they couldn't steal and say that now make 4 rakats for Isha, for Maghrib namaz, and make 3 rakats for Fajr namaz. That is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's mu'jaza, that is teachings, and it is Allah Ta'ala's hukam. So up till now and up till the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, there won't be any argument with regards to the 2 rakat farz of Fajr. You'll have arguments on many other issues, but the 2 farz of Fajr and the 3 farz of Maghrib or the 5 namazes, nobody has argued up till now that no, it's supposed to be 3 rakats or supposed to be 4 rakats. So that they have failed to steal. But look at all the other things. Look at all the other areas. Look at all the other departments of our lives. What have they done? Tumhare ghar mein choron ne lagayi hai naqab, jaago. Tumhara ye liye jaate hai maal asbab sab, jaago. They are taking it away. Get up now. How long are you going to remain asleep? Pade ho ab bhi ghafil, kya kar rahe ho ghazab, jaago. Pade ho ab bhi ghafil, kya kar rahe ho ghazab, jaago. Bahut soye, bas ab jaago, bas ab jaago. Far too long you have remained asleep. You have slept far too long. Pade ho ab bhi ghafil, kar rahe ho kya ghazab, jaago. What is going to shake you up? What is going to get you up from this ghaflat? He's telling us that how long are we going to remain fast asleep and think that nothing is happening around us? When will we bring that akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives? We cannot even win our own wives with love and muhabbat. We can't win our children. Our children are angry with us, wives are angry with us, parents are angry with us, family members angry with us, neighbors angry with us, clients and customers angry with us, tenants angry with us, landlords angry with us. Who is happy with us? Who is happy with us? And to top it all, Allah is angry with us. And all this is the effect of Allah Ta'ala's anger with us. Whatever we are seeing in the form of fights, quarrels, arguments, curses, and it is the result of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's anger with us. One person went to one buzruk and he says that, make dua, there's a big problem between my son-in-law and my daughter. There's a big problem. Make dua. He said, what is the problem? Then he explained. He said, I can make dua as much as I wish to for you. But until they are not going to change their lives, it's not going to help. They don't want to give up their TVs, their movies. They don't want to make the salat. They don't want to obey Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One of the two parties is at fault. Sometimes one side may be good, but the person is unconcerned about the other. Sometimes it can be a test from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, as I explained in the past also, that if you have to look at Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife was kafira. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, his son disobeyed. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his father did not want to accept Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his uncles refused to accept. So now there was no fault of the Nabis of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Like that amongst the awliya also, or the good and pious and righteous also, there are sometimes people who are doing everything right, they are trying to make the correct effort, but it's a test upon them. That child becomes a means of the elevation of the status of that parent, on the sabr that that parent makes over that disobedience of that child. But provided the person has made the correct effort. But I am talking about those in whose lives there's no deen, no Islam. Then they must check, where have we gone wrong? Just going to some buzruk and say, make dua, is not going to solve the problem. So he says, padhe ho ab bhi ghafil kar rahe ho, kya ghazab, jaag ho. Bahut soye, bahut soye. Bas ab jaag ho, bas ab jaag ho. Don't take everything for granted. That these are things that happen in a person's life. You have ups and downs, so what? Look at the causes. Why don't we say the same thing when it comes to our chest pains and stomach aches and head aches? At that time, why don't we say, well, these are all things that normally happen. Why go to the doctor and worry about treatment? People in the world don't get a stomach ache. People in the world don't get chest pains. People in the world don't get migraines. They all get. So what's there? We also got some bad chest pain. It's one of those things. Why do we rush to the heart surgeon and heart specialist? Because we consider our health very important. We feel that we will not be able to do anything if we don't have health. So what about our spiritual health? What about our spiritual health? If a person gets a heart attack, at the most he'll go to the qabristan and he will increase the numbers of those who are lying there. That's about all. And all have to leave this world one day. It's going to come to an end. The body is going to decay and become part of earth, turn to dust. Everybody is going to go through the process of death. So that body which is going to one day lose its life, we are so concerned. But when it comes to our spiritual health, we are unconcerned. So just making namaz is not sufficient. Our namazes must improve our akhlaq. Our umrahs must improve our akhlaq. Our hajj upon hajj must improve our akhlaq. Our zakat must improve our akhlaq. Our fasting must improve our akhlaq, our muamalat, our muashara, our etiquette, our morals, our transactions. All these things, if you have to look into it very deeply, if a person has to conduct it in the manner that Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have asked us to conduct them, it will improve our akhlaq. If our akhlaq are not improving in spite of our nafil namazes and our sadaqat and our umrah upon umrah and hajj upon hajj, and we can't seem to be really getting anywhere, then it shows that there is some great weakness somewhere. It should be improving. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, if we have to look at their lives, in the beginning, in the early days, everybody their enemies. Everybody. No friends at all enemies. But then as they came closer, and especially during that period, the 2 years after Sulh Hudaybiyah, when Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala and others accepted Islam, how many thousands came into Islam? Which sword brought them into Islam? It was that beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we are crying over. That bring about some change in our akhlaq. We get so many letters, we get so many phone calls and so much of faxes and emails, complaints, complaints and complaints. Yesterday after Zohar, I was replying to one. It hurts, it deeply hurts, where the husband tells the wife that I'll make your life miserable. I know that our marriage, there's no hope of a reconciliation, but you are the cause of it, so I'll never ever give you a talaq. I will make sure that you die an old woman, unmarried. Now is this akhlaq? If you can't get along, there's just no way that you can reconcile, then it's not totally haram and forbidden that you must not part and go your way. عاشروهن بالمعروف أمسكوهن بالمعروف وتسريهم بالإحسان والآيات كنسية. That either you keep them, treat them nicely, look after them, care for them, fulfill their rights and be happy with them. I'm just giving you an explanation. And if all that is not happening and you think that is going to lead to big problems, فَإِمْسَاكُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ أَوْ تَسْرِيهُمْ بِالْإِحْسَانِ, then let them go nicely. Don't hold them against their wish and will and have quarrels and fights and arguments, and not only just two of them fighting, then both families are fighting, then they're running to the jamiyats and they're running to this society and that society, so somehow terminate that marriage. Now they are calling up the parties and they are telling them that, no, please, whatever happens, now try to live together as husband and wife. They say, but so many years we are trying. The wife says, I've been trying and trying, or he says that I've been trying. But she's not changing her attitude, and she's this and she's that and she's that. So if she is all kinds of person, then what is the purpose of then holding on and clinging on and making her life miserable and your life miserable? Then release her from your bondage. Let her go her way, nicely, kindly. Give her some gifts. Part in a way that you don't curse each other all your lives. There will be that hurt, there will be in that separation. But what is the sense in saying that I will make you suffer till your dying day? If Allah Ta'ala makes that person suffer, then what will happen? Person thinks that he is Allah, that he will make her suffer. One stone in his kidney Allah Ta'ala will put, and then see how he suffers. So don't play the role of Allah Ta'ala. And don't make bold claims, and don't become Fir'aun of the time. That is what we mean, that they have stolen your culture. Culture of Islam was this, that with akhlaq you deal with everybody. So I was saying that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the beginning everybody their enemies, but as they came into contact with the Muslims and they saw the akhlaq, they saw their muasharat, they saw their transactions, their etiquette, their morals, their behavior, their character, their generosity, their kindness, their charities, they all came into Islam. Large groups came into Islam.
तुम्हारे घर में चोरों ने लगाई है नकब, जागो, तुम्हारा ये लिए जाते हैं माल असबाब सब, जागो, पड़े हो अब भी गाफिल कर रहे हो क्या गजब, जागो, बहुत सोए बहुत सोए बस अब जागो बस अब जागो.
Stop the zulm, stop the zulm. It is bringing azab of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Stop demanding my right, my right, my right. Start fulfilling the rights of others. Everywhere there is nothing but demand for rights. But then what about the obligations and responsibilities that come together with that?
Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka basab bedar ho jao.
It's no more time to remain asleep. Musalmano, utho. Get up now and get into action. Too much of speeches, too much of publications, too much of everything, but very little action. So it's time now. He says, get up, Musalmano, bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka, bas ab bedar ho jao. It's no more time for indifference and negligence. Bedar ho jao. Get up. Be alert, be sharp. Look at what is happening around you and happening around in the world. The world is one global village now. Whatever happens in one corner of the world, it affects the other corner. One stupid fashion must come out in some corner of the world. Within seconds, it catches on in another part of the world. Those days, if some indecent, obscene literature or show or anything or fashion cropped up somewhere in America or China or some other part of the world, it took years before it reached another corner of the world. But now within seconds it's on the television and it catches on. It's on the film circuit and it catches on. So there's no more time to sleep. These things come in very subtly, very, very, in a very sly manner they get into our lives. Now let's proceed from there.
Kabhi wo waqt bhi tha jab ye tha sara diyar apna. Kabhi wo waqt bhi tha jab ye tha sara diyar apna. Kisi shay par magar baqi nahi ab ikhtiyar apna. Kisi shay par magar baqi nahi ab ikhtiyar apna. Ye ab ghairon ka hai, ye ab ghairon ka hai bilkul, kahein hum go hazar apna. Ye ab ghairon ka hai bilkul, kahein hum go hazar apna. Saza iski hai kyun choda wo islami shiar apna.
How true, how relevant to our times. He said this some 40 years ago or 50 years ago, but how relevant to our times, or more than that. He says, kabhi wo waqt bhi tha jab ye tha sara diyar apna. There was a time when we used to say that all these countries are ours. This country is ours, Muslim country. That country is ours, Muslim country. Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, so many countries in Africa, Morocco and others, so many countries, Pakistan, even India at one time, the Mughals were ruling, Spain, for 800 years the Muslims ruled. So all these countries we said was ours, 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 everything is ours, Muslims. Ye sab hamara hai. Chino Arab hamara, Hindustan hamara, Muslim hai hum sara diyar hamara, or whatever he said. But the thing is, at that time we used to be proud that these are Muslim lands, Muslim governments, everything in our control. We have so much of power and we have so much of strength and we have so much of numbers and so many things we used to say. He says, now you can say 1,001 times that these are yours, but nothing is yours. Nothing is yours. Kisi par ikhtiyar nahi. When you have got no control over anything, then how can it be yours? You can't call the shots anywhere. You can't dictate to anyone. You can't threaten anyone anymore now. Those days, if the Muslim armies had to say that we will spit on your face, they will turn around and run for their lives. That much of fear and rob Allah Ta'ala had put in their hearts. And today if you tell them that we'll throw cannons and we'll send our missiles also and we will put our nuclear bomb also, nothing, doesn't cause any kind of problem to anybody. This is what they did. Israel tested the Muslim governments, stepped in a little into Palestine and destroyed homes and bombarded and used their gunships and missiles and everything and bulldozed the homes of those innocent women, children, old, weak, cried, "Please come to our assistance." Nobody came. So that gave them strength. They went further, 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 Jenin and everywhere after that. What happened? All those Arab governments around them, absolutely gutless, watching the destruction of the masajid, madaris, Muslims, women, children, destruction of homes, just watching, can't do anything, helpless. Helpless, gutless, toothless, nothing. So can we call it ours then? Pakistan has to ask America for assistance. All the other Muslim countries, all are dead scared now. What will America do to us? So everyone playing the tune. So now you can call these countries yours and you can say what you like, but he says, "Ye bilkul ab tumhara nahi hai. It is not yours anymore. Kisi shay par magar baqi nahi ab ikhtiyar apna." Nothing. You've got no control over anything. Ha, from where to where? Ye ab ghairon ka hai. It's gone to others now. It belongs to others. Your oil wells belong to others now. You can be drilling the oil, but it doesn't really belong to you. You have to buy all the bombs and missiles and helicopters and everything from those very countries that are your enemies. For the protection of your countries, you have to buy ammunition and the technology from your enemies. Does it make sense? That your enemies will give you protection. So he says, "Ye ghairon ka hai, it now belongs to others. Kahe go hazar apna," no matter how much we say it is ours. Saza iski hai, but he says, why? That is the question. Why is this happening? Saza iski hai, kyun choda wo islami shiar apna? Why did you give up that islami shiar, islami way of life, islamic culture, islamic etiquette, islamic morals, islamic behavior, islamic business transactions? I say that these days we hear a lot about sharia compliant. Everything must be sharia compliant. Say the banks must be sharia compliant. Our business must be sharia compliant. Politics must be sharia compliant. Our schools must be sharia compliant. So we hear of all these things that they should be made sharia compliant. But when will we become sharia compliant? What about our lives? Don't we have to become sharia compliant also? In all departments of our life. How many places we have seen in the world, I'm talking about the world in general, that those who are calling for sharia compliant banks, they have their one leg in the conventional banking system and one in the sharia, Islamic banking system. Now can you have one leg there, one leg here and say sharia compliant? Or if you have to look at their lives and their lifestyles, then you don't find anything sharia compliant. I'm talking about some. There can be exceptions. So he says, "Saza iski hai." This is a punishment from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This restlessness that we are experiencing, these problems that we are going through, it is a saza from Allah Ta'ala. It is a punishment from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Why did you give up your Islamic shiar? You are ashamed to practice Islam today. He says, that is our condition. That we are ashamed. Look at the Sikh community. Those who have been to India or those who have seen the Sikhs, they must, those who watch TV and all that, so they must have seen them. That they have long beards. They don't cut any hair on the head. Now, they went to, with that, to England, America, anywhere they went. They demanded the right to keep that long beard, flowing beard. They don't touch it at all. No such thing as even one fish length. But they demanded that. And wherever they go, although they are a small community, but you can recognize them wherever you go. That this is a Sikh community. And the Muslim, wherever he went, instead of him changing the environment changed him. That is what happened to the Muslim.
Musalmano utho bahare amal tayyar ho jao, nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas ab bedar ho jao.
And let's take one more and we conclude for tonight, because there will be no majlis next week.
تمہارا ہر نئے دور حکومت میں بدل جانا تمہارا ہر نئے دور حکومت میں بدل جانا نمونہ ہو کے بھی ہر قوم کے سانچے میں ڈھل جانا نمونہ ہو کے بھی ہر قوم کے سانچے میں ڈھل جانا رہے حق میں بتوں کے حسن ظاہر پر پھسل جانا جدر چلنا حدود شرع سے باہر نکل جانا مسلمانوں اٹھو بحر عمل تیار ہو جاؤ نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ
تمہارا ہر نئے دور حکومت میں بدل جانا. Whenever a government changed, then you changed with the government. You were supposed to change the government. The government was not supposed to change you. But if there were laws that were restricting you from indulging in certain kinds of haram pleasures during the apartheid time, then when apartheid went and the government changed, and the so-called democracy came, then he says, you also changed. He said, now why should we be deprived of those haram pleasures? Why should we now be deprived of going to those rave clubs and to those cinemas and theaters from where we were banned at one time? Whatever good changes came, accept it. But if there is legislation that is now allows you to indulge in all those haram pleasures, then we should be making an effort. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. We should be calling towards good and forbidding and stopping people from doing that which is evil. But instead we went also hook, line and sinker with them. So he says, tumhara har naye daure hukumat mein badal jana, namuna ho ke bhi har qaum ke sanche mein dal jana. You were supposed to be role models. He says, oh Muslim, you were supposed to be role models. People were supposed to follow you. They were supposed to model their lives on your example. The disbelievers were supposed to see you conducting your lives and then model themselves on you. Instead, you looked at them and began to model yourselves on their lives. You saw some film actress dressing in a certain way, dancing in a certain manner, singing in a certain way. Then you modeled yourself on that film actress's style. You saw some film actor very popular amongst the women folk and amongst the young girls, then you said, well, I must also model myself on the pattern of this film actor, so that I can also be chased around by hordes of women. Na'uzu billahi min zalim. Then if there is some kind of show where there is no haya, no modesty, no shame, complete indecency, nudity, everything, then he says, you also changed because the government has changed, so you also went. You're supposed to be a role model, you see. But instead you modeled yourself looking at others. Namuna ho ke bhi har qaum ke saanche mein dal jaane. You're supposed to change the environment. Wherever the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in went, what did they do? They changed the environment. So much so that those people began to like the culture of the Muslims. They began to like the dressing of the Muslims. Even the language of those countries changed. In Egypt, from where did Arabic come? And all these other countries where they speak Arabic, from where did it come? The Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhum went, even the language changed. All these long, long kurtas that you see in Comoro Islands and you see in so many other places. Now where the Sahabas from, where they came. But look at the changes that they brought about. The cultural lifestyles changed completely. People start modeling themselves on the lives of the Sahabas. And we are that nakhalaf, that's not only that we fail to retain that culture, but we chase people away from Islam because of our actions. We cannot win Muslims. Where can we win non-Muslims today? This is an Islahi Majlis, my respected brothers and my sisters at the madrasa. This is not a sing-song lullaby, go to sleep. It says that you're sleeping too long, now get up. It's not intended to make us sleep more. So therefore it hurts because it's a majlis of Islah. So it hurts my heart too, because when I look into my character, my akhlaq, my behavior, my morals, and whether I'm a role model or not, so it hurts my heart too when I say these things, that I'm not, I cannot seem to do justice. But at least let us get that realization. How many people we are causing hurt and injury to. And the greatest hurt and injury we are causing to is Islam. But Islam will never die. Islam doesn't suffer any kind of weakness. Islam will remain as strong as ever. But the Muslim community then becomes weak. When large number of Muslims do not have akhlaq, do not have the right muamalat and muasharat, then the Muslim community becomes weak. And then that is what happens, that the foreign elements take over. Then we can scream and shout at the top of our voice that we should do this and we should do that and we should bring about a change here and bring about a change there. That's about all we hear, we should bring about that change. But where does that change begin? It begins from the individual's life. In our own homes it has to begin. All are complaining, people are doing this, people are doing that. What are we doing? So he says, Namuna ho ke bhi har qaum ke saanche mein dal jana, rahe haq mein buto ke husn zahir par phisal jana, jidhar jalna hudood shar'a se bahar nikal jana. Whichever direction the person just crosses the limits and the boundaries of Sharia. Hudood of Shara, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Tilka hududullah, fala ta'taduha. These are the limits. Eat, drink, marry, make use of the halal things that Allah Ta'ala has created. These are the limits. You can't go beyond that. That is the limit. The other morning we were walking on this road, and one of our brothers, he had a fence there, where there's an electrified fence. So I asked a simple question, expecting an obvious answer. I said, what is the purpose of this fence? He says, if a person has to cross this fence, what will happen to him? He said, he will get a shock. Now it just depends on what voltage that current is. Some person can get such a shock that he can pass away peacefully, same place. So the purpose of that fence is that, that this is the limit. Oh, you intruder, the one who's intending to intrude on my property, this is the limit. That's my boundary. You can't cross this boundary now without my permission. So therefore I've got this electrified fence. If only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to put an electrified fence at all his boundaries, that you can only go up to here. If you touch any woman who is haram for you, then you are crossing that boundary, you'll get an electric shock the same time. The boundary is here, you can earn your livelihood, but the halal limit is here. Beyond that is haram, and if you have to touch haram also, you'll get an electric shock. In everything, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, where his limits are, if he had to have that system, that the angel gives you one electric shock, which person will commit sins then? Which person will commit sins? And you think if man can make that kind of electrified fence, Allah Ta'ala couldn't have had a system where the person immediately gets a jolt or a bolt from the sky comes down upon him. What would have happened? So fear that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bring his azmat and muhabbat in our hearts, and don't go beyond those limits and beyond those boundaries. So this is what Khaja Sahib says, that this is unfortunate that, O Muslim, that you took no concern, showed no concern for the limitations and for the boundaries of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In whatever department you went one way across that boundary line. Just did not control yourself. Did not discipline yourself. The animals, you don't have to, they have to put fences. If there's pasture on this side and green pasture on that side, then the farmers have their fences so that the animal can only go up to there, cannot go beyond that. Because if you give an animal a speech and tell that animal that, oh my dear beloved, listen carefully, you can only go up to here, please don't go that side, that area is not ours, that land is not ours, will the animal listen? So are we animals or human beings? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made us human beings. He gave us aqal. He blessed us with iman, blessed us with Islam. And then he said, these are my boundaries. So if the person still goes beyond that boundary, then that is when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself says, ulaika kal an'am bal hum azal. They are like animals, nay worse than that. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire ummah the hidayat. If there's anything that is said which sounds harsh, then believe I'm addressing my own nafs. If you want to accept it, alhamdulillah. And if not, then it doesn't make any difference. But this is a majlis of Islam. And wallah, I'm telling you from the deep recesses of my heart, with great love for you. Let us bring about some change. How long are we going to remain asleep? We are seeing what the effects are in our homes and in our lives. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Akramal Akramin, Ya Ghiyath Al Mustaghithin. اے میرے پیارے اللہ, تو نے ہمیں نمونہ بنایا تھا امت کے لیے, غیروں کے لیے, اپنوں کے لیے تو نے ہمیں نمونہ بنایا تھا. یا اللہ, you had made us the role models for everyone. یا اللہ, ہم نے تجھے بھی چھوڑ دیا, اپنے پیارے رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی تعلیمات کو بھلا دیا, Ya Allah, we have forgotten the teachings of the Quran, the teachings of the Sunnah. But oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, you can bring about a change in the condition of our hearts. Ya Allah, we are acknowledging before you, we are confessing before you, indeed we are the most sinful one on the surface of the earth. Ya Allah, we are munafiqeen, we are from the munafiqeen. Ya Allah, we are from the hypocrites. Ya Allah, we have Islam on our tongues, but there's no Islam in our lives. May Allah, even the disbelievers when they see us, Ya Allah, the impression that we create of Iman and Islam and of Muslims distances them from us. Ya Allah, we cannot even win those who are believers, those who are Muslims. Ya Allah, we cannot love our parents, we cannot love our children, we cannot love our family members, we cannot love the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ey mere pyare Khuda, change the condition of our hearts. Mere Allah, this is because our hearts have become filthy, dirty, polluted. Mere pyare Allah, oh my beloved Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de. Khudaya fazl farma dil badal de. Ey Allah, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they came from the Kuffar, the Mushrikeen, the Yahud, the Nasara, the Munafiqeen. But when they accepted Islam upon the hands of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah, they became radiallahu anhum wa radu an. You pleased with them, they pleased with you. Mere Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Change our akhlaq, our muamlat, our muasharat. Ya Allah, Huzur alayhi salatu wasalam ki ittiba naseeb farma. Ya Allah, bless us with the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ey mere pyare Khuda, remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems that the ummah is facing around the world. Oh my beloved Allah, there is no sukoon anywhere in the world. There's no tranquility, there is no peace, there's no happiness. Hey, mere pyare Allah, those who are to be the propagators of happiness and sukoon and peace, we don't have it ourselves. Hey, mere pyare Khuda, ab to hamare hal par raham farma. The life which is gone, the life which remains, oh Allah, bless us with the tawfiq to do that which is pleasing to you and distance us from that which is displeasing to you. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day, darkness of nights, sins of the hands, of the feet, of the eyes, of the ears, of... Oh my beloved Allah, forgive our parents, our wives and children, and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. Oh my beloved Allah, we have acknowledged before you that indeed we are the most sinful ones on earth, but oh Allah, don't look at our sins, look at your shan of Rahimi and Kareemi and forgive us. And when the time of our departure comes from this world, then, oh my beloved Allah, oh my beloved Allah, take us to Madina Tayyiba, at the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasul Allah. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا خير خلق الله Let our eyes shut. Let our soul depart and come dancing towards you. Ya Allah, those who have passed away, fill the graves with noor. Bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Allah, bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. ربنا تقبل منا ربنا تقبل منا ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.